Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, it seems that markets have a new set of uncertainties to deal with, and they're not new, to be honest. After months of seeming dormancy, U.S.-China tensions have made an unwelcome comeback. From coronavirus accusations across the Pacific to potential CFO extraditions, and the city of Hong Kong now emerging as the new flashpoint for global markets and global geopolitical tensions, how will this impact the Forex markets in particular? Well, today on Forex Fridays, I'm joined by Mr. Stephen Innes, who is the chief strategist at Axie Corp, to review all that's happened in the busy final week of the month of May. Stephen, thanks again for joining us all the way from Bangkok, and glad to hear that you're in good health and that it's a matter of when and not if you'll be able to get back to the golf courses.
Yeah, that's right. I'm really looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to get out this weekend, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed, but maybe not so good with we take a look at the geopolitical landscape. U.S.-China tensions are flaring up once more. And before we dive straight into things, we're seeing that the Chinese yuan, at least offshore, is back to its weakest levels or around its weakest levels since 2008. Could these returning trade and tech tensions morph into China just letting the yuan depreciate again, which, as we know, could lead to a new can of worms, especially since the U.S. has accused them of being a currency manipulator before?
You know, it's an interesting scenario. I don't think the PBOC wants to overtly weaponize the yuan. I think that's bad, poor optics, especially for the foreign investors landscape. But that's not to suggest that they may not widen the band and perhaps let some more fundamentals take hold of the yuan. So in other words, what I'm saying is looking at the fact that they've downgraded the GDP, or actually they didn't even indicate a GDP. To me, that's still a downgrade, that they didn't come out with a growth target. That reflects that China wants to probably let the yuan go a little bit weaker. Remember, export demand is more important than price. However, in a world where global trade is collapsing, a more competitive currency probably would be most welcome. This outcome is even more escalated in the light of the latest U.S. and China increased tensions. So yeah, we could see a weakening of the yuan. But I was looking at some market news last night, and it said that the people familiar with the PBOC policy, that they were willing to allow the yuan to shift to a wider band. But what I did notice, this is one of these unusual times that they've released such information to a U.S. wire source. So I'm not sure what's going on over here, whether this is the tit for tat trade war way of trade war escalation. Normally, they're rather reticent about policy and they keep it pretty much locked door. And releasing this out is just a little bit odd. The timing is a little bit conspicuous. Look, I still think there's weakness to be had, but I don't think it's going to be a weaponized weakness. That's for sure.
Well, let's take a look now at what a yuan depreciation, if it's not a weaponized depreciation, what could this mean for some currencies that are very sensitive to the yuan's levels? And I'm talking in particular about the Singapore dollar. As you know, the government just released what they called a fortitude budget. They're now spending about 92 billion Singapore dollars to try and keep the Singaporean economy from sinking any further. But now this yuan depreciation might bring some unwelcome uncertainties or headwinds for the Singapore dollar. Is this the case?
Over time, there's been a fairly tight correlation between the Singapore dollar and the yuan, but things are a little bit different in a COVID-19 environment. And that's one of the things that we're struggling with in the currency markets, because it seems the dollar is very much trading on a risk on, risk off narrative. So in other words, dollar strengthening when there's risk off in the market, and it's weakening when there's risk on. This does make sense because that narrative suggests that other economies are opening up and getting stronger. Now, will the U.S. dollar Singapore level attach itself to the reopening narrative, or is it going to attach itself to historical correlations to the weaker yuan? This is the difficulty in trying to forecast currency markets when interest rates are all pretty much towards zero. I think on the positive side here, Singapore still maintains a very, very high bond rating and relatively attractive yields. I think this does pay into a safe haven flow when things do recover, given the resilience in the financial sector in Singapore is day in and day out. So although I think we'll exhibit a little bit of weakness in the Singapore dollar, I don't think it's going to 100% correlate to the weakness in the yuan. And I'm using another example here. I'm looking at the Australian dollar, for example, which is a really high beta to the yuan. And that's diverged quite significantly over the past month or so. Not to suggest that the Aussie dollar is always tied at the hip to the yuan, but they do tend to move in the same direction. Right now, they seem to be ripping in the opposite directions. And this tells me that perhaps historical correlations as far as the overall basket might not be as tight this time around, and this reopening narrative sets in.
The Australian dollar has seemed to have firmed, and everyone was expecting continued and prolonged weakness. But we did hear from the RBA that they are not expecting the downturn induced by the COVID-19 pandemic to be as bad as previously thought. They pretty much said, you know, you can rule negative interest rates and take that off the table. Is this creating a firming up scenario for the Australian dollar? And will an economic recovery actually mean more for these economies that are so sensitive to China in the long run versus say that this potential yuan weakness that we're talking about?
I honestly never understood the big sell-off in the Aussie dollar, and the permanent bear is existing around Martin Place. I think Australian analysts are a lot more bearish for the Australian dollar, similar to Canadian dollar analysts. They're perma bears also. And I think this is sort of selling the landscape. Things were completely different this time around because it came down to almost a reopening narrative. Like, this wasn't like a type of recession that, you know, was building over several months. This was like one day economies were moving forward, then the next day it was shut down. So obviously there was a negative reaction to the Australian dollar, but it climbed back pretty quickly. I think this was really about the resilience in iron ore demand, which remained fairly stable throughout the whole downturn. Not to suggest that infrastructure was booming in the COVID environment, but there was still demand for iron ore, and this held up fairly well through the downturn. But looking at the Australian dollar, it's hard to divorce the iron ore narrative from Australia basically being an asset bubble on top of iron ore. We're looking at the way China has been sort of retaliating towards Australia right now for sort of criticizing their response to the coronavirus. First of all, we've seen tariffs on meat products being levied. We've also seen tariffs on grains, and we've seen tariffs potentially being leveled on coal. Is iron ore going to be the next tariff being levied by China on Australia? Who knows? This is the problem right now when we get into this environment. Australia is very, very much dependent on their balance of payments, all predicated around iron ore, and I'm a little bit concerned about that. But right now, the market's really trading on reopening narrative, I think, convincingly. I think both New Zealand and Australia, although there's some arguable wobbles in each economies, have done very well coming out of the COVID environment, and their economies will probably start up much quicker than, say, the U.S. economy. So I think in the meantime, the Australian dollar does have some shine. But I'm always worried about China moving off of globalization towards more internalization, or just switching supply chains by away from people that have accused them of not reacting quick enough to the COVID lockdown.
We're still speaking to Mr. Stephen Innes, the chief market strategist at Axie Corp, here on Forex Fridays. And, you know, Stephen, we could spend the whole interview talking about China-related flashpoints. And another one that's also emerged recently is the possible extradition of Huawei's CFO, Meng Wanzhou. And this involves your home country of Canada, of course. A court in Vancouver has ruled that that there is double criminality, which could pave the way for her being extradited to the U.S. Now, we know that the Bank of Canada is also keeping rates down to near zero there. And this could also bring some unwelcome criticism, and already has welcomed unwelcome criticism from the Chinese government, the recent decision. How will this all play in Canadian dollar?
You know, as much as we refer to Australia dollar as a currency that's basically a asset bubble on top of an iron ore mine, Canadian dollar is another asset bubble on top of a tar sand. So this is the issue with Canadian dollar. It's very sensitive to oil prices over the long term. As far as these squabbles go, I think the scenario with Canada's unlimited tertiary supplies of commodities right across the board, I think that's more attractive to China for reinvestment purposes than what, you know, the Waihi situation is right now, because I think this is going to be compartmentalized away from the broader narrative, and we've seen that happen in the past. So yeah, I think there'll be a little bit of an issue, but look, I think China wants to invest in a lot of undervalued industries, especially in the commodity sector in Canada. So this should probably keep Canada doing well.
And finally, Stephen, the most recent flashpoint and the growing concern now for global markets is what's happening out in Hong Kong. Unrest is piling up. This national security law that's being imposed or being pushed by Beijing to be imposed in Hong Kong is ruffling a lot of feathers there. And really, it could threaten Hong Kong's standing as a global financial hub. Now, this could create a scenario where potential short sellers on the Hong Kong dollar might decide to come back and push their luck. Now, this is one of those currencies that's been one of the most unsuccessful to short. Many have tried and many have failed. But do you think that people might start to press their luck again and bet on a Hong Kong dollar weakening even further?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, that's going to be a continuing narrative here. So, you know, especially if Hong Kong converges further towards China, both in terms of the real economy and financial system, the yuan, in theory, should become the, you know, the dominant currency. And you know, even marginalizing the Hong Kong dollar to a great extent. But I think the more prominent risk right now is the reclassification of Hong Kong as an emerging market. Right now, it still attracts the MSCI World Index rating. But with China as an emerging market, what's to stop these rating agencies from reclassifying it an emerging market? If that's the case, there'll be a huge amounts of outflow from Hong Kong, just because of the debt rating issues at all. Everybody goes to the MSCI positive rating for the Hong Kong as a world index, not an emerging market index. That'll create a lot of problems, and that may force Hong Kong to let the peg give way. But these are only sort of theories. I think there's still going to be a significant defense of that peg. It's held the economy very, very well. But as I've always said, we always sort of overextend ourselves when it comes to trading headline risk. And this is the one thing I want to, you know, sort of pull back a little bit here, because we're always reading in the most negative risk scenarios where, you know, this basically could end up being a little more than a tempest in a teacup. And, you know, next week we'll be looking at some other risk. It really boils down to how aggressive of a response the U.S. is going to take, and then how much of a retaliation China will take. Right now, playbooks on both sides of the argument are trying to decide which way to go. On one hand, we have the playbook, we have the trade war playbook. On the other hand, we have the no reprisal playbook from China. So, you know, it's difficult to play any of these currencies over the short term, but I think things are going to clear up quite significantly next week, and that might give us a better medium term outlook as to which way the currency markets are going to be trading.
Mr. Stephen is Chief Strategist at Axie Corp. Thank you so much for joining us today on Forex Fridays. And as always, I hope you and your loved ones stay in good health and safe as we progress through the rest of this very challenging year. Have a great afternoon, great weekend ahead, sir.
Thanks, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.